Good morning. Good morning. We would like to welcome everyone this morning to Midway Church of Christ. We'd like to welcome everyone that's in the auditorium with us and also to the ones that are online with us. Good morning. Thank you. We'd like to welcome everyone this morning to Midway Church of Christ, the ones that are with us in the auditorium, and also to the ones that are worshiping with us online. Before we begin our worship service this morning, we have a few announcements to make. Today is Gordon and Charlene Brown's last Sunday before they move on Tuesday. We wish them well and safe travels, and we will miss you both. If you want to use the building for an activity, please get a building use form from the office and get an elder's approval. This will ensure that the activities get on the calendar and avoid conflicting events. That's all the announcements we have. Pray with me and we'll begin our worship service. Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all your many blessings. Thank you for this opportunity we have to come together to study from your word. Be with us, Lord, in our worship service, and we pray that it's pleasing unto you. Be with our sick and comfort them in a way that only you can. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was close. All right, shake it off. Mm-hmm.
Scripture reading this morning will be from Psalms 27, verses 1 through 14. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high up on a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says to you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, will I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, take heart, and wait for the Lord.
Thanks, Gordon. Isn't it good to be a Christian?
Amen.
Tattoo was a basset hound. The report came out in a Washington State newspaper. And the Tattoo didn't know he was going to go on a evening run. But when the owner was getting everything and all the kids in the car, accidentally, Tattoo's leash got in the door and Tattoo was on the outside. And so as the car began to drive away, Tattoo began to run. And as a highway patrolman on his motorcycle saw the car driving by, it noticed that this basset hound was picking them up and laying them down as fast as it could. But every once in a while, it would roll and tumble. It was having trouble staying upright. And the officer brought the car to a stop after it had got up to about 25 miles an hour. And Tattoo was okay. No major problems at all. Just a little shook up. And from then on, whenever a car door shut, it kind of twitched a little bit. But isn't that like us sometimes in life? We live in a tense, uptight, fast-paced, rushed world. And sometimes it feels like it's hard to stay upright. Things are just going so fast. And sometimes we get news of things that happen. It's a diagnosis from a doctor, or it's a loss of a job. I mean, I have a job where I listen to a lot of people from time to time that are uptight. They're uptight about their marriages. They're uptight about their children. They're uptight about their jobs. Life can cause us to be uptight sometimes. The CDC's done surveys this whole time during the pandemic. It's interesting that 22% of women and 23% of men suffer from anxiety disorders through these last couple of years. It's interesting, isn't it? Men just a little bit higher than women. And when you think about the millions of people that deal with stress and anxiety and difficulties in life, and when you look, that's 18 and above, but when you look at 13 to 18-year-olds, one out of three deal with anxiety, depression, We live in a world that's fast-paced, uptight, and sometimes it's hard just to stay upright. And here we have a psalm that tells us not to be uptight, but to be upright, to be people who can stand. And he's going to show us four ways to do that. How many of you played with Weebles when you were growing up? From the early 70s to about 2011, you would hear the Weebles commercial say what? Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down, right? The writer here wants us to be like Weebles. We're going to wobble. We're going to deal with circumstances in life that are going to cause us to be afraid and struggle. Look at the psalm. You've got one list of words that says adversity, enemy, foes, violence, coming against me, armies, war. That's not what you want your life to be going through, right? If you have a relationship, you don't want to be in a battle, in a war. You don't want there to be tension and conflict. You want it to be different than that. Then listen to the other set of words. Light, salvation, strength, confidence, beauty, protection, mercy. Take care of me. Goodness, courage. I mean, you want door number one? I don't know why I always do the negative stuff on the left side over here this time. The goats and the sheep. Anyway, you want this door? Wars and battles and tension and struggle and... Or do you want light and salvation and courage? Which one you want? Door number one or door number two? We want that door where we stand upright, where we're not in a struggle, in a battle, in adversity. This morning we're going to look at four ways to stand upright in an uptight world from this psalm. We're going to move pretty fast. So don't be uptight, be upright with confidence. Listen to what he says. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. In whom should I be afraid? And his answer is going to be, I shouldn't be afraid of anything. The Lord is my light, my salvation, and my strength. He found his strength, what could make him upright instead of uptight. He found the answer because of who God is. God, when there's darkness, God brings light. When there's devastation, God brings salvation. When there's separation, God brings salvation. When there's weakness, God brings strength. How many of you in your life in this last year have dealt with situations that are dark and you felt weak and you felt devastated? Guess who brings light, salvation, and strength? God does. Go to Him. Listen to what else David says in the following verses. In verse 2, when the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. These things were coming at me from every direction, but guess what? They stumbled and fell because God's on my side. God brings salvation. God brings help. God brings healing. God brings peace, salvation, and strength. The psalmist is saying, Psalm of David here, David is saying, look to God. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, in this I will be confident. What are you going to be confident in, David? What's your confidence? That God is my light, that God is my salvation, and God is my strength. I'm confident in that. If man can't, God can. That was David's position. And he stood upright. We all experience things that make us feel unstable, that make us feel uneasy. Remember the first time you put on a pair of roller skates? Did you just perfectly skate without falling down? We've been teaching Ava how to do that. So we go through the whole process of make a V with your feet and do this and do that. And we get on carpet so it's not as slick. What about the first time you took the training wheels off a bicycle? Did you ever fall down? I fell down, scabby knees, scabby elbows, because I thought I could do it. I didn't need anybody's help. But then I welcomed the hand of my father on the back of the bicycle seat that gave me a little bit of balance. And then it was his finger on my back. A process to get me where I got my balance. God wants us to be upright, not uptight. Guess what? If you do things without God, you're going to be uptight. If you do things with God, you're going to end up upright. Be confident in God. In Psalm 18, it says, after he had been delivered from all of his enemies and Saul, David says, I will call upon the Lord. It says, when I called, God heard. When God heard, God came. And when God came, God rescued me because he delighted in me and he gave me salvation. And he says, he put me in a safe place because he delighted in me. God delights in me and you, and when we turn to him and we look to him and we seek him, he's going to take care of us. Be confident in that. And even if an army encamps around you, he goes from simple adversity to complex diversity. Think about the worst case scenarios that could happen to you this week. Whatever it is, God is your light. God is your salvation. God is your strength. The Bible, in countless places, sends the message, do not be afraid, stand firm, hang in there. God will take care of you. Don't be uptight, be upright with worship. Now, we talked a lot about this, so I'm not going to go repeat everything I said a few weeks ago. But it says, listen to what he says. One thing, when trouble is there for David in his life, one thing I desired of the Lord, that I will seek him, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Guess what? When a bad situations, when they came in David's life, guess what he did automatically? He worshiped God. He sought God. He went to pay homage to God. He didn't forget God. He didn't walk away from God. Through this pandemic, I've heard story after story about people who were faithful, who have become unfaithful, and don't seek God anymore in their life. It's happening in our world today. People that were here aren't here, and their faith has drifted away, and they've lost their faith. Exactly what Satan wants to happen. But when we face adversity, we should not go away from God. We should draw near to God. And when we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. And He says, I'm going to worship God. And look at what He says in the following verses, starting in verse 5. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. The best translation is in His tent. That's where He's going to find protection. In the secret place of His tabernacle, He shall hide me, and He shall set me upon a rock. So He gives some allusions to some things here. David's in trouble, and he finds safety in God's tent. And he finds safety in the fact that God picks him up and places him on a rock. If all the danger is below, if the flood waters are coming in, and somebody takes you from where you're at, where you could be blah, 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 to where you're safe. That's the picture. God can put you in a safe place. God can protect you. Like a treasure, He can hide you and protect you. It's like what we talked about before, about the shadow of His wing. God is our protector. In verse 6, And now my head shall be lifted above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Some of us need to sing praises to the Lord. Some of us need to be more joyful toward God. We need to praise Him and thank Him. If you want to be uptight, don't worship God. If you want to be uptight, don't praise Him. If you want to be uptight, don't express to God in song His praises. If you want to be upright, worship Him. Fully worship Him. No holds barred. Don't hold anything back. Worship God. Everything that means, worship God. God deserves my worship. Anybody believe that God does not deserve our worship? The sun rises and the sun sets. Everything we have in life is because of God. I owe everything to God. I owe Him my praise. I owe Him my thanks. I owe Him my gratitude. Worship Him with all your heart. Worship Him. We read in the Bible of people at times worshiping God in a special way. We should be that way all the time. There's public worship, what we're doing here today, and there's private worship. Some people come to public worship but never worship God privately. Take time to worship God privately and publicly. Then he says, praise and worship. Make sure that both of those things are happening in your life. Do not be uptight. Be upright with dependence. Depend on God. If you have a small child in your life, you know they depend on you. They depend on you to buckle their car seats. They depend on you to help them with their bath. They depend on you to watch out for them because they're not watching out for everything, right? They depend on us. We depend on God. God wants us to depend on Him. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. So first of all, he starts off and says, I depend on God in prayer. I cry to God. When you're in trouble, when you're dealing with grief, when you're dealing with sickness, when you're dealing with loss, when you're dealing with depression, when you're dealing with teenagers, whatever you're dealing with is difficult for you. When you're dealing with difficulties, go to God in prayer. Prayer is not supposed to be a spare tire we take out when we're just in trouble. Prayer is supposed to be a steering wheel for our lives. You have not because you ask not. Ask God for direction. Depend on Him. God will give you guidance in your life. God will supply things that nobody else can. There's a promise in Scripture. If you ask for wisdom, God will give it generously without finding fault. There shouldn't be any foolish people walking around. We should be asking God for wisdom, and He will give it to us generously without finding fault. The only reason we're going to be foolish is because we ask not. Therefore, we have not. And he goes on in verse 8 and says, I could camp out on a lot of these verses, but I'm not. So you should praise the Lord for that. Anyway, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. So he's feeling helpless. He's feeling like afraid. He's feeling like, I can't do this without God. I need you. And he's telling God, I need you. Don't be there for me. He's expressing those things to God. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. We have a promise in Scripture. He will never leave us nor forsake us, so we can say with confidence, God is my helper. I will not be afraid. But are there not times that we feel like maybe God isn't there? Tell Him, God, don't forsake me. Stay with me. Be with me. You're my helper. I need you. I depend on you. If somebody comes to me and says, I need your help. I need your help. I need your help. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to help them. Guess what God's going to do when you tell God, I need you. I need you. I need you. You think God's going to forsake you? No. He's not. God will be there for you. You have not because you ask not. Because when you ask God to show up, God will show up. Unless you don't believe that. If you don't believe that and you don't seek God, it's not going to show up. He says in verse 10, underline this, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. He believes God is going to take care of him no matter what. Other people may forsake him, but God's not going to forsake him. Do you believe that? That makes you stand upright instead of being uptight. Teach me, part of it's prayer and part of it's asking God. Teach me, verse 11, your way, O Lord, and lead me in smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to them, to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. He sees the danger, and he asks God, teach me your ways and lead me in a smooth path. God will guide us. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your steps. Proverbs chapter 3 says, depend on God, and you will not be disappointed. Depend on God. I got a 5-year-old granddaughter. She depends on bigger people. I have to realize I need God. I cannot do this myself. I cannot make it through. I'm going to depend on God. And God's going to help me through. There have been times that I thought something was impossible, and I depended on God, and I got through it. There have been times where I didn't depend on God, and I was miserable, and I finally humbled myself and said, I can't do this on my own. I got to have a higher help. I can't do this. I can't stop this. I can't break this. I don't know what to do. And for me, in that case, immediately, everything turned around. I just needed to be humble enough to let God know, I need you. I can't do this on my own. Sometimes that's what it takes. God will exalt the humble, and He will humble those who exalt themselves. Don't forget that. And then He says, finally, I forgot I put these slides in, so I'm jumping. But sometimes standing upright starts with humbling ourselves and depending on God. If you want to stand strong, sometimes you got to pray and seek God's will first. Don't be uptight. Be upright with faith. I would have lost heart. I would have given up. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He's looking for the end. No matter what happens to you in this life, you can have hope and assurance that you can be with God in the land of the living. What's He talking about? I thought the land of the living was here. No, we're in the land of the dying. This is not the land of the living. There's something better for us. Look forward to that. And who's going to get you there? God. Who's going to be with you there? God. Follow Him. Obey Him. Humble yourself to Him. Don't be uptight. Be upright with faith. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I mean, think about those words. Wait on the Lord. Just wait on God. When's it going to happen, David? He said you're going to be king. Samuel anointed you. And he's on the run for a decade from King Saul. Don't you think he sometimes thought, when's this going to happen? I mean, that's a long time in the microwave. 10 decades. Sometimes things seem long to us, but it's short to God. Sometimes things are the opposite, right? Wait on the Lord. You may have to suffer for a short time. You may have to deal with some difficulties for a short time. But guess what? If you read the book of Judges, the periods of their pain were 3 years, 5 years, short periods of time. And their times of peace were much, much longer, sometimes triple that. That's the way God works. You may go through some difficulties, but what God provides for you at other times is so much greater. Wait on Him. If you go with God, everything's going to turn out good anyway. That's the message of the book of Revelation. Hallelujah anyway. You may not get it all. You may not understand it all. No matter what happens, hallelujah anyway. If you're in Christ, you're going to be okay. Jesus said, don't worry about what people are going to do to the body. Worry about God, what He thinks, who can destroy both the body and the soul. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet he forfeits his soul? Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. There's a lot of people in the church today, their hearts are about to give up. Their hearts are heavy. Their hearts are broken. Bring that heart to Jesus. He can strengthen your heart. Well, how does He do that? I don't know all the ways, but all I know is when I start leaning on Jesus, everything gets better. When I start listening to Jesus, everything gets better. When I follow Jesus, everything gets better. You want to be upright in an uptight world? Wait on God, be of good courage, do what He tells you to do, and be upright in an uptight world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. That first part, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. You want to be upright? Be strong, be courageous. But be on your guard. Satan wants to take away your confidence. He wants to take away your worship. He wants to take away those things that help you stand upright in an uptight world. Don't let him. Stand firm in the faith. Don't be uptight. Be upright with faith. He gives us four things. Y'all remember there was a lot of V8 commercials, right? There still are some. One thing you remember is, you know, the knock on the head could have had a V8, right? But one of the commercials in the 80s was a guy getting off the elevator, right? And he gets off leaning. And the receptionist, he says, do you want this? And he says, no, I had a hamburger or I had this. And he's leaning, right? And he takes the V8 and he drinks it. Next time he gets off the elevator, he's upright. And what's the slogan say in the commercial? This V8 commercial. Keep your diet straight. Have a V8. You want to keep your life straight? You want to keep your life upright? Sometimes we have to take the time to straighten some things out, don't we? I got up this morning. My hair was looking good on the front. Got a new suit on. I'm looking in the mirror. And I got something sticking up in the back, right? It's a big old brickle frizzy, right? Cowlick kind of thing. Guess what? If I would have came to church like that, somebody been licking that thing down, right? So what did I do? It needed to be straightened, so I took out the brush and I got it down, put some hairspray on it. You know, I've always had trouble with cowlicks all my life. Anyway, what do you need to straighten up to stand more upright? Does your confidence need help? Your worship? Your dependence on God? Your faith? Take the time to make sure you fortify your life with the things that help you stand upright. Where you may wobble, but you won't fall over. Too many of us fall down and we can't get back up. Will you stand? Will you stand in the land of the living? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have you heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized? If you haven't, you're not going to stand in the land of the living. Are you going to have... One of my biggest questions as I look at all our little kids growing up here, I don't care if they're in cradle row or they're in the teenage class. One of the questions that always haunts my head is will... And I could start naming them. Will they have a faith that will sustain them through the difficulties of life? Will they be uptight when they're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, or will they be upright? Will they be uptight when they're 60, 70, 80, 90 years old, or will they be upright? We got a lot of people in this auditorium that have stood upright in uptight times because they've done these things. May we walk with God, worship Him, depend on Him, believe on Him, have confidence in Him as we stand and sing.
Morning. I had an instructor in college that once came and talked to us that he said, if you ever have a choice between buying something that you need for the house or taking a trip or a vacation, he said, always take the trip. And I always thought that was kind of curious. He said, yeah, if it's a difference between buying that new couch or chair or taking that trip, he said, always take that trip. And he said the reason behind it is because 15 years later, when that couch is old and worn or whatever, you're not going to think about that, but that trip you'll remember for the rest of your life. Why? Because you're making memories. And that's something that is kind of thematic for this morning as we take this time to remember. In Luke 22, when Jesus gathered his disciples, his apostles, up in the upper room, it was the time of the Feast of Unleavening on the Passover, and it was the day that they would offer that sacrificial lamb. And as he took the bread and took the cup, he made the statement, do this and remember me. Now, understand, he didn't just say, remember me. He said, do this. It was an action that was required. And the action and the memory were put together as we do every Sunday. We put these things together to connect the memory that God instructed us so many thousands of years ago to take this time and remember the sacrifice that was made for you is a sacrifice that we all share in. We do have these emblems to tie that in together to think of the body and the blood that was sacrificed for us. So this time of memory for us should be significant. And remember, he always said, take this time to reflect on these things, to remember that sacrifice, to help you connect to what it means to each of us. So let us pray. Father, thank you for the body that was broken on the cross for us. We thank you for this time of remembrance. We pray that we will reflect on the life that was given for us as we take this bread. In Jesus' name, amen. And let us pray for the cup. Father, we again thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was poured out on the cross for us. We thank you for this cup that is a symbol of the sacrifice that was made for us, the cleansing blood that takes away our sin. We pray that as we take this, we will reflect on these things and reflect on the life that we have because of the blood that came in contact during our cleansing of our baptism. We pray that we will remember these things and remember the life that we now have. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
a little bit of an audible this morning. I have changed the song service slightly. There's going to be an extra song coming up right now. All right. There we go. And it's a doozy, so I want everyone to sing out if you'll stand with me. Especially the tenors and altos. This one is a workout for you guys. It thrills my soul to hear the songs of praise we mortals sing below. And though it takes the parting of the ways, yet I must onward go. I hope to hear throughout unnumbered days the song heard cannot know. Bright and fair, I want to, oh, to hear the glad harps ringing with voices blending rich and rare. I want to, oh, to see the master bringing a precious life crown that I may own and wear. I want to hear. Chorus sweetly sing, I want to hear, to hear it swell and ring. The greatest joy that I have ever known is praising him in song. I know someday, I have sown with angels, I'll belong. They sing in heaven a new song of Moses and the Lamb. I want to, oh, to hear the angels singing, to bid me welcome to mansions bright and fair. I want to, oh, to hear the glad harps ringing with voices blending rich and rare. I want to, oh, to see the master bringing a precious life crown that I may own and wear. I want to hear. I want to hear, to hear it swell and ring. Oh, I'm spent. Please be seated.
As we close our service today, we just want to take this opportunity again to thank you for being here this morning. We appreciate that you have chosen to worship with us. There are a lot of people with us who have been gone for quite some time. There are a lot of new faces here as well this morning. So please stay around if you can for a few minutes after services just to give us a chance to get to know you. We want to thank you, too, for your contributions to help support the work of the church at Midway, and not only your financial contributions, which have been great, but also your service contributions. Kendall led the service song. So many of you do so much, such hard work to make Midway what it is today, and we appreciate that so much. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer as we close the online service. Father God, we thank you so much for this time that we have had together as your children, as your church, for the lessons that we have learned this morning, for the communion we've gathered at the Lord's table to remember Jesus, for the fellowship that we've had with other Christians, and Father, for the opportunity to praise and to honor and to worship you. Father, we pray that you will bless us as we depart now. Please keep us all in your care. Many of our number are traveling already, and many are about to travel this week. Father, bless all them as they travel. Keep us safe and well. And many of our number, which we'll name in a few moments, are suffering or healing or undergoing treatments. We pray, Father, your blessings upon each one of our number who needs their health back. And Father, again, we ask your blessings upon Gordon and Charlene as they depart our presence and go to their new home in San Angelo. We pray that you will bless their work in the church there. Bless them as they travel, and let them always know how much we appreciate them and the service that they gave to you here. Father, keep us in your care. Help us to remember every day to draw closer to you and to serve you better. Bless us now in Jesus' name. We pray. Amen.